Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and during this time of year, we use Halloween as an excuse to bring you mystery and stories of the supernatural. We hope you enjoy our spooky offerings this week. Horror was popular year-round on classic radio, and we have selected two shows to frighten you this time. The first is about murderers on a lonely road, and the second is about a monster and his creator. From the series called The Sealed Book, we have a show titled Design for Death. Philip Clark plays the keeper of the book, promising all the secrets and mysteries of mankind through the ages. Enjoy The Sealed Book, Design for Death, first broadcast August 5th, 1945 on Mutual.
The Sealed Book. Once again, the keeper of the book has opened the ponderous door to the secret vault, wherein is kept the great sealed book, in which is recorded all the secrets and mysteries of mankind through the ages. Here are tales of every kind, tales of murder, of madness, of dark deeds, strange and terrible beyond all belief. Keeper of the book, I would know what tale we tell this time. Open the great book and let us read. Slowly, the great book opens. One by one, the keeper of the book turns the pages and stops. Ah, the strange story of a web of death woven by fate to trap three unsuspecting mortals. In an evil design more terrible than the mind can conceive. A tale titled Design for Death. It is written in the pages of the sealed book, deep in the lonely solitude of the Maine woods. A young couple, Carl and Dora Evans, stand at the side of a narrow road, staring dazedly at the wreckage of their car in a deep gully beside the road, a wreck from which they have miraculously escaped, unhurt.
Carl, I told you we shouldn't try to make the Canadian border by tonight. If you hadn't been driving so fast, you'd have been able to take that curve. Now what are we going to do? On foot here in the woods with sundown not more than a half hour away?
Dora, be quiet. I think I hear something. Listen.
Organ music.
Look, there's a path leading into the woods. There must be a house back in there someplace.
A house? Oh, yeah. Yes, I can see it now. And the trees. Carl, how strange.
Strange? You mean lucky. That's where we're going to stay tonight, Dora. Come on.
Carl, what'll we tell them? The people that live in the house, I mean.
We'll tell them we're brother and sister on a vacation trip, that we accidentally wrecked our car. You act as if you'd sprained your ankle, and they'll have to put us up for the night. By morning, I'll have our next move figured out.
All right, Tom. Look how big the house is. Who in the world is supposed to live out here? So many miles from even a crossroads.
What do I know? A hermit, maybe. Here we are. Now, come on, take my arm. That's it. Limp. Good.
Wait, Carl. Listen to that music. That's no radio. That must be a real organ. Strange music.
All right, so it's a real organ. What of it? I'm going to knock. Now, remember, play up your sprained ankle big. We've got to get invited to spend the night here.
All right, Carl. Here comes someone.
Oh, good afternoon. I'm afraid I wasn't expecting any callers.
We've had an accident. My sister has been hurt. May I bring her inside?
Why, of course. Come in, by all means.
Thank you. Oh, my ankle.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Here, come this way, into the library. Can you make it?
Yes, yes, I think so.
Sit down here. You'll feel much better.
It's very kind of you, sir, if you'll let my sister rest here for a few hours.
My dear sir, it's almost dark. You must both stay here until morning. I insist.
Why, thank you.
No, don't thank me. I lead a very lonely life, and I'm delighted to have some company. Truly delighted.
Their host introduced himself as Mordred Vance, a recluse whose health required him to reside there in the bracing atmosphere of the Pine Woods. When Vance told them that he lived there alone, without servants of any kind, Carl's eyes lit up with interest. Later, when Mordred Vance had shown them to their rooms and said goodnight, Carl lingered for a low-voiced conversation with Dora.
Well, Dora, how do you like it?
Like what, Carl?
The setup, this house, Vance, everything. If we had to have an accident, we couldn't have picked a better spot for it.
Carl, what scheme have you in mind now?
Listen, this guy Vance is a recluse, hardly ever goes into town. He hasn't any radio, never reads the newspapers. That means there's practically no chance of his ever finding out we're running away from the police. So you and I are going to stay here as long as we can.
But will Vance want us here?
Oh, sure. He went for you in a big way. Okay, it'll be 2 or 3 days before you feel well enough to leave. And by then, he'll be hooked. We'll make him want us to stay. And look, baby, he must be rich. You saw the rugs and furniture.
Yes, and that big organ in the library. Must have cost thousands.
At least. Of course, he must be a bit of a crackpot to want to live here with no servants, but he's a nice, harmless one.
Maybe we'll be able to cash in on him.
That night, Carl slept well. In the morning, inwardly exulting at their luck, he helped Dora downstairs. As they descended, they heard their host once again playing the organ in his library.
What funny music he plays. Last night, that weird stuff. This morning, something sounds like church.
Yeah, he's a queer dog, but he'll be easy to handle. Now, remember, he likes you, so play up to him.
Yes, I will. Good morning, Mr. Vance.
My dear Miss Evans and Mr. Evans. I hope you both slept well.
Wonderfully.
Like a top.
And the ankle. Oh, I see it still pains you.
Oh, it's much better this morning, Mr. Vance. Really it is.
I'm glad of that. But you must be hungry. I fixed breakfast there on the serving wagon. Sit down and make yourselves home.
Oh, thanks. We will. Here, Dora, let me help you.
Thank you, Carl. Aren't you going to go on playing, Mr. Vance?
No. Truth is, I was just playing to put out of my mind the tragedy which happened last night when I drove to town for a few extra supplies.
A tragedy?
The wife of my grocer died very unexpectedly.
Oh.
I dropped in there to pay my bill, and after I'd paid it, she invited me to drink a glass of wine with her and her husband, as she always did. While we were sitting drinking and talking, she was seized by a heart attack and died inside a few minutes.
Oh, it must have been very upsetting.
Yes, the sight of death moves me deeply. But why should we talk about death on a beautiful day like this? There's something else I want to speak of, Mr. Evans. Your sister's ankle must receive rest. I'm going to insist that you stay with me several days until it's properly healed.
Well, that's very generous of you, Mr. Vance.
Generous? Not at all. You will be doing me the favor by giving me your company.
Well, when you put it that way, how can we say no, Mr. Vance?
Good. Then it's all settled. You're going to stay with me just as long as I can possibly keep you. Like that, Dora.
That was lovely, Mr. Vance. You've never played like that before. So...
Romantically? I was playing like that because of you.
Because of me?
Of course. Listen to me, Dora. You've been here a week. Surely by now you must know I'm in love with you.
Yes, I guess I did know it.
I'm not a poor man, you know. I'll show you something. Come over here, Dora. Wait till I move this screen. There.
What? There's a safe behind it.
Yes. Now watch. I shall open it and you shall see. There. Now this cash box. Look, my dear.
What? It's full of money.
Yes. $50,000 in $100 bills. My emergency fund. I'll put it away now. I just wanted to show you that I'm not penniless because, Dora, I want you to marry me.
Marry you? You must give me a little time to think about it, Mr. Vance.
Of course, my dear, by all means. Give me your answer tomorrow, but only remember, I'll not let you say no.
To continue the story as it is written in the sealed book. Not knowing that Dora is really Carl's wife, Mordred Vance, a rich recluse, asked Dora to marry him. Carl, for reasons of his own, was annoyed with Dora for not accepting Vance at once.
He showed you $50,000 and asked you to marry him, and you said you'd think it over.
But, Carl, I'm your wife just because he thinks I'm your sister.
I know. But don't you see, if he thought you were going to marry him, we could stay here indefinitely?
I didn't think of that.
So you're going down and tell him you've decided to... No, wait.
What is it, Carl?
I have a better idea. We need that $50,000. It would fix us up for life.
What are you getting at?
Listen, Dora. Not a soul knows we're here outside the three of us. If Vance were dead, no one would know. We'd never been here.
You mean kill him? Then take the money.
Yes, I do.
Oh, no, Carl. We've never killed anyone.
Don't be a sap. It'd be a cinch. Now we're going back downstairs. To put him off his guard, you're going to tell him you'll marry him. Then tonight, after he's asleep, I'll make sure he never wakes up.
Obedient to Carl's instructions, Dora has told Margaret Vance that she will marry him. As Vance proposes a toast to their future happiness...
And now we'll drink a toast to... What's that?
There's someone at the front door.
But I'm not expecting anyone. Who in the world can it be?
Margaret! Margaret, where are you?
Justina!
Oh, here you are. Why didn't you come to the door?
I was just going to. I have guests.
Yes, so I see. And who are they?
Very dear friends of mine. Miss Evans, Mr. Evans, my sister Justina.
How do you do?
How do you do?
How do you do? Mordred, I'm surprised.
Surprised at what?
You know perfectly well.
But Justina...
Let's not argue before your guests.
No, of course not. Dora, Carl, will you excuse me? I haven't seen Justina in several months. We have some family matters to talk over.
Of course. We'll go on up to our rooms.
Yes, it's just about time to turn in anyway.
I'll see you in the morning. Good night, Dora.
Good night.
Good night,
Carl. Good night, Miss
Vance. Well, so you've forgotten your promise, have you, Mordred?
What promise?
You know perfectly well the conditions on which the family agreed that you could live out here in the woods, Mordred. No visitors, no trips. Complete isolation.
I think I should tell you, Justina, that Miss Evans has done me the honor to agree to marry me.
Oh, she has she? Well, I'll fix that.
Justina, you shall not interfere.
Mordred, if they don't leave the first thing in the morning, this whole arrangement is canceled. Much as the family will regret it, we'll have to see that you go to an asylum.
I'm perfectly well now, Justina. Just what brought you here anyway?
An impulse brought me. I suddenly got to wondering about you, and I drove up here to see how things were. Just in time, too, apparently.
I see. You just happened to drive up here. Very well, then. They shall go. I suppose you plan to stay all night.
Yes, I do. I'll stay until after they've gone.
Then you can have the front room. You look tired. Would you have a drink of wine with me before you go up?
Well, perhaps. A small glass, please.
Splendid. I know you have my interest at heart, Justina, so we'll drink to our continued friendship.
But as Margaret Vance went to fetch a bottle of wine, Dora and Carl were talking upstairs, for they had lingered outside the closed door of the library long enough to hear what passed between Margaret and his sister Justina.
She threatened to send him to an asylum. Carl, he's mentally unbalanced.
Yes, that would explain everything. He's living here in such isolation, seeing no one.
It's his family's way of keeping him out of trouble.
Well, he's probably perfectly harmless.
Well, anyway, we're going in the morning. And I'm glad it turned out this way.
Well, there's no point in staying any longer. Now that his sister has seen us, it would be too risky to try our little scheme. Well, in the morning, we'll be on our way.
Relieved, Dora went to bed. Just as she fell asleep, she heard the sound of music from downstairs. Wild, strange music. She listened a moment, but she was used to hearing the organ play now, and it did not disturb her sleep. In the morning, when she and Carl descended, their host was again playing, as he had been the first morning after their arrival. Curious music, almost unearthly in quality. But he stopped as they entered the library.
Oh, good morning. I hope you slept well.
Yes, very well.
How is your sister this morning?
Oh, the truth is, my sister and I quarreled last night.
Quarreled?
We both have violent tempers, and, well, the argument brought on a heart attack, and my sister...
A heart attack?
Yes. Her heart has been weak for years. Before I could go for a doctor, she was gone.
Gone? You mean dead?
Yes, Dora. She died just after I got her upstairs to her room.
Oh, how horrible.
But What are you going to do?
Do? What is there to do?
I mean, you're going to call a doctor and notify the authorities.
No, I don't think I shall.
You mean you're going to do nothing?
Dora, my dear, listen to me. We must be married at once. We'll go away together. You, Carl, shall keep us company. When we're far away, then there'll be plenty of time for letting people know about Justina.
Oh, no, I couldn't. I've changed my mind. I can't marry you.
You've changed your mind?
Dora, be sensible.
No, I'm sorry, but I just can't. We're leaving today, Carl.
Why, Dora, I love you very much. I couldn't let you leave me.
Of course we're not leaving.
Dora, dear, please. Wait at least until tomorrow before you make up your mind definitely. That's not much to ask, is it?
Of course it isn't. She'll think it over, at least until tomorrow.
But why, Carl? Why can't we go today? Why must we wait?
Dora, listen. I have a new plan. His sister is dead. Her heart attack was a stroke of luck for us. Now we can go ahead as we planned.
You mean...
Yes, we'll arrange it to look like a suicide. When their bodies are found, the authorities will think he killed himself in grief.
Oh, I don't like it.
It'll work perfectly, I tell you. And we need that money.
Something will go wrong, I know it.
Nothing can go wrong. Now, here's how we'll work it. I have my gun...
Carl, listen.
What is it?
He's playing that awful music
here. No one of it.
It frightens me. I don't know why. It's just so strange.
Oh, forget about it. Now, just before it gets dark, we'll go down and I'll step up close to him and then...
To continue the story as it is written in the sealed book. In spite of Dora's forebodings, Carl is going ahead with his plan for murdering Mordred Vance and getting his money. Just as it was getting dusk that evening, Carl and Dora entered the library to find Vance sitting in his easy chair with a decanter of wine and glasses beside him.
Oh, there you are. I was just wondering what happened to you.
We were just out for a little stroll.
Then you must be tired. Here, let me pour you both some wine.
I don't think I want any.
Of course you do. Here you are.
In a moment. There's something I want to talk about first.
Oh, indeed? What is it, Carl?
That's...
He's dead.
Yes, and it couldn't have been neater either. Now I'll clean my fingerprints off the gun. Then I'll put his fingerprints on it like this. And with the gun on the floor here beside the chair and his hand dangling over the chair arm, it's a perfect case of suicide.
Please hurry, Carl. I want to get out of here.
Yes, of course. Well, we can use that wine now. You need a drink, and so do I.
Yes, I do. Thanks.
That helps. But now let's get that safe open. Over here behind the screen, is it?
Yes, that's it.
Yes, here it is. I hope you were smart enough to notice the combination when he opened it for you.
Yes, I did. I'll open it. There.
Good. Now, let's see what we've got.
The money was in that cash box.
Right. There we are. Did you ever see a prettier sight?
Just take the money and go, please, Carl.
Don't be in such a hurry. Let's see what's in this other box. That's funny.
What's in it?
Just a bunch of old newspaper clippings. Some of them are so old, they've turned yellow. Good heavens.
What is it, Carl?
They're all clippings about murders.
Oh, what does it matter, Carl? I really don't feel well. Can't we go now?
Just a moment. Look at this headline.
Local organist sought for murder.
Santa Barbara, California, June 17th, 1935. Maxwell Vanning, organist, is being hunted by local authorities following the death of a choir singer from apparent heart failure. The police, becoming suspicious, searched Vanning's apartment and have found a bottle of rare poison whose symptoms duplicate those of heart failure.
What does that mean, Carl?
I don't know. Here are eight more clippings covering a period of about 10 years. Every one about a murder by apparent heart failure. And every one committed by an organist whose initials were MV.
Mordred Vance!
That's the only possible explanation. He was a homicidal maniac. Why, Dora, we've been here for more than a week. He might have killed us, too.
He was going to, Carl. He was going to. I know it. Didn't you hear that music he was playing this afternoon?
What about it?
The first evening we came here, he was playing it. And that night he went to town, and you remember he said that while he was in town, his grocer's wife had a glass of wine with him and died of heart failure.
Yes, you're right. He killed her.
And then last night, after his sister arrived, he was playing that music again. And this morning, his sister was dead of heart failure.
Yes, and several of these clippings mention weird organ music heard before the bodies were discovered.
Of course. And this afternoon, he was playing that same music again. That means he was planning to kill us. Us, Carl, because we were going away.
You're right. Let's get out of here quick.
Carl, I feel sick.
Well, it's because you're upset. Come on, the fresh air will fix you up fine.
No, I can't move.
Well, here, I'll help. Something is wrong with me. Oh, you are.
We've been poisoned.
No, that's not possible.
It is. The wine he tried to get us to drink just before you killed him.
But we refused.
Yes, but we drank it afterwards.
Oh, yes, we did.
And it was poisoned, Carl. Don't you see? That's how he planned to kill it. And he's done it. He's done it.
That's funny. We planned to kill him, and he planned to kill us. And we both... We both succeeded.
And that is the story of the strange and incredible web woven by fate, as the tale is written here in the sealed book. Two murderers, each seeking a victim, met, and so brought about each other's downfall. Twisted indeed are the strands of fate in which destiny entangles mere mortals. Volume, show us the tale we tell next time. This one, yes, a tale of two men who tried to drive an old woman insane by turning themselves into ghosts while they were still alive, and of the strange and terrible success that crowned their efforts. The tale is called The Ghost Makers. Be sure to be with us again next time when the sound of the great gong heralds another strange and exciting tale from The Sealed Book. The Sealed Book, written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan, is produced and directed by Jock McGregor.
Well, I guess crime didn't pay off too well for that dastardly couple. You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week throughout the World Wide Web. I'm your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have a show from the series based on the comic book hero, The Avenger. Jim Brandon, The Avenger, perfected two inventions that aided him in the fight against crime. The telepathic indicator, which is used in this episode, and he was also able to make himself invisible at times. Lately, we have heard some public debate about artificial intelligence, but even in the 1940s, people were dreaming of robots who could overcome their masters. Enjoy The Avenger, Mystery of the Giant Brain, first broadcast March 30th, 1946, in a transcription for syndication.
The Avenger.
The road to crime ends in a trap that justice sets. Crime does not pay.
Avenger, sworn enemy of evil, is actually Jim Brandon, a famous biochemist. Through his numerous scientific experiments, Brandon has perfected two inventions to aid him in his crusade against crime as the Avenger. The telepathic indicator, by which he is able to pick up thought flashes, and the secret diffusion capsule, which cloaks him in the black light of invisibility. Brandon's assistant, the beautiful Fern Collier, is the only one who shares his secrets and knows that he is the man the underworld fears as the Avenger. And now, The Avenger and the Mystery of the Giant Brain.
Who is it? Who's there?
It's Miss St. Clair. I want to speak to you, Professor Rodano.
Oh, all right, all right. Come in. Why, Miss St. Clair? Where are you going with all that luggage?
I'm leaving, Professor.
Leaving?
Yes. And you needn't pretend to be surprised. You know why I'm going.
Yes, you were upset about those animals from the zoo, I believe.
Yes, that among other things.
Miss St. Clair, it was absolutely necessary for me to have those animals. Our experiments have gone far beyond the stage of rabbits and mice. I must have animals of a little more cunning. Of course, I'm sorry to have to steal them from the zoo and neighboring farms, but that's the only way.
Well, I want no part of it. When I came here a year ago as your assistant, I thought you were a reputable scientist.
I am a great scientist, Miss St. Clair. Too great to allow the petty ethics of...
Perhaps you are a great professor, but you've become cruel and inhuman. And the kind of man that has no place in the laboratory. These experiments and brain surgery you're making now are horrible.
You think so? Then perhaps you have decided to report me to the police.
No. I just want to get out of here and have nothing further to do with you.
You're a coward, Miss St. Clair. You're afraid of what the great Rodano can accomplish. Why, Rodano's work is just beginning. Look, these three mechanical men, these robots I have created, they're only in their infancy.
Yes, I know they are. Look at them lined up there. Three iron monsters, that's what they are.
You hate them because you fear them. In time, my robots will accomplish all that man is too cowardly to attempt.
Professor, please don't go on with this. Destroy them now before it's too late.
Why, Miss St. Clair? How can you talk like that? You helped perfect them.
I didn't understand what you were doing.
You will excuse me if I find that hard to believe.
It's true. Until a few weeks ago, these robots were merely harmless servants of your will. Created, you assured me, merely to fetch and carry for you. Now you send them out to capture animals for you, in the hope that in time you'll be able to create for them a brain.
Exactly. And that time is almost at hand. Just think, Miss St. Clair. Very soon I will no longer have to control those robots as I do now by the magnetoelectric batteries I have installed about the house. Ah, they will have a mind and intelligence all their own.
You're playing with madness and death, Professor.
Two marvelous experiments. Madness and death.
I see that there's no point in trying to reason with you. But there is one other thing I'd like to do before I go.
Yes?
I'd like to know what has happened to Dr. Giles.
I told you 2 weeks ago I sent him away on business.
I don't believe you. I think he left you just as I'm doing because he wanted nothing further to do with you and your robots.
Would you really like to know where Dr. Giles is now? Would you like to see him, Miss St. Clair?
What do you mean?
Dr. Giles is in my secret basement laboratory. I had to lock him up in a little iron cage down there. Come, I'll show you.
No. No, you are mad. I'm going to the police. I'll have you.
Robot One! Robot One, stop Miss St. Clair!
No! No, let me go! Professor, please! Professor, let me go!
Carry her to the basement laboratory,
no.
Robot One!
No! No!
You've always been curious about that secret laboratory, no. Miss St. Clair. Now I let you see it.
No! 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 Professor, I beg you, let me go! Please!
All right, Fern. I'm ready to dictate now.
Let me see. This is experiment 2274, isn't it, Jim?
That's right.
Go ahead, Jim.
Subject. A power increase on the telepathic indicator. Data. Increase of 2 amperes on direct current caused the headgear to blow. However, when current was changed to alternating, reception was not only maintained, but increased.
Oh, Jim, you increased it. How wonderful.
I don't know exactly how much yet, but I think it's a matter of a few miles, Fern. We'll send out a crew tomorrow, station them a quarter of a mile apart, and experiment with their thought transmissions.
Good. I'll make all the arrangements.
Now for the data on the strongest thought impressions I picked up on the indicator today. Take this down, Fern.
Yeah.
Thought waves received from a greater distance than before. Seem to have their origin in violence, but not death. Constant static interference might indicate that the thoughts were surrounded by electricity at their origin.
That's something new, isn't it, Jim?
Completely new, Fern. Add these facts, will you?
Mm-hmm.
The color impression was gray. Gray with a background of blue. Perhaps something gray in color, high enough to be seen against the background of the sky. Either a tower or a plane. But since there was no indication of movement, I'm inclined to favor the tower.
Mm. Sounds as though we picked up the latent thought waves of a medieval maiden in distress.
Oh, there you go, letting your romantic notions run away with you again.
Well, nothing seems to be impossible with that indicator.
But if you'll review the facts, young lady, you'll realize that your medieval maiden could scarcely have been surrounded by electrical instruments of extremely high voltage.
No, I suppose not. Unless the tower was struck by lightning.
I give up. You win. But to get back to the facts, I'll make a note of this, please. I also picked up an impression on the same thought wavelength of inarticulate suffering, something that could have emanated from small children or animals. This impression was not as clear as the others.
That's a strange kind of impression.
Yes, and all the more interesting in view of a story that appeared in this morning's paper. Here, paste this clipping in beside those notes.
What is it, Jim?
It's a story about some animals that were stolen recently from the zoo at Midvale. Also, a raid on a fox farm near there.
What do you make of it, Jim?
Nothing yet. Fern, do we have a legend map that includes Midvale?
Well, we have one for this entire county. Will that do?
Fine. Yeah, where is it?
On the bottom shelf behind you.
All right. Now, let me see. Midwest crop list. Midland County map. Yeah, this is it. Midvale's exactly 16 miles due east from here. Yes, that's within the radius of the indicator.
Oh, look, Jim. This footnote says that Midvale boasts of several mansions of great architectural beauty that date back to the early 1800s.
It also boasts of several well-known silver fox farms, all of which ties in pretty well with the things we already know.
Oh, yeah.
Fern, how long will it take you to pack?
15 minutes.
All right, let's get moving. You and I are going on a little trip to Midvale.
Jim, how much farther do you think it is to Mr. Isaac's farm?
Oh, we should be coming to it soon, Fern. Aren't you enjoying the walk?
Yes, only it's farther than I expected. He must have walked at least 2 miles since we left Midvale.
Well, it can't be far now.
Jim, why are you so anxious to talk with Mr. Isaac?
Because Joe Isaac has reported 4 foxes stolen from his farm within 2 weeks.
Oh.
And I think he may be able to give us a few leads. Off the record, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that must be Isaac's barn just ahead there.
Somebody's shooting at us, Jim.
Fern.
Run!
Fern, wait. Wait, nobody's shooting at us. Those shots came from behind that barn. Come on.
Oh, quiet, Jim. I can't keep up. Look, there's a man running across the field.
I'll stop him. Hey, you. Wait a minute. Stop. Stop, I say.
Oh, no. I didn't do it.
Stop running or I'll bring you down.
No. They'll say I killed him. But I didn't. I didn't.
No, stop, I tell you.
I didn't kill him. I didn't. Let me go. I didn't do it, I tell you.
Now, take it easy. I didn't say you killed anybody, but I couldn't let you run away. Sorry I had to knock you down.
I was in the barn. I saw it all. But I didn't kill him.
Kill who?
Joe Isaac.
Oh, you got him, Jim. Thank heaven.
The big man did it. The big man.
Come on, show us where Isaac is.
Come this way. Here. Back at the barn.
Now, suppose you tell me exactly what you saw.
Well, Joe caught the big man stealing 2 foxes. Joe shot at him 4 times. But the bullets can't hurt the big man.
What in the world is he talking about, Jim?
Hanged if I know, Fern.
There he is. There's Joe Isaac. See? He's dead.
I'll have a look.
Well, Jim?
He's dead, all right. And 4 bullets have been fired from this gun he's holding. We've got to call the police.
No, don't call the police. They'll say I did it. I'm going home.
No, you're not. You've got a lot of questions to answer. What's your name?
Harry Sampler.
Just what were you doing here, anyway? And who's this big man you're talking about?
Well, I live around the hill there in the shack. I come over here every day to help Joe with the chores, and he gives me food.
Yeah?
Joe is good to me. I wouldn't kill him.
So, today, while you were helping Isaac, this big man appeared and stole 2 foxes?
Yeah, that's right. Joe started to shoot at him, but the big man walked right through the bullets and hit Joe over the head with his big iron hand.
Oh.
He killed Joe. The big man did.
Oh, this is getting us nowhere fast, Fern. I'm going to call the police.
Well, I think we'd better.
Come on and show me where Isaac's telephone is, Harry.
Well, Joe ain't got no phone.
What are we going to do, Jim?
Well, I've got to stay here and guard the place until the police get here.
But how can we get word to them?
Yeah, that's the question. I can't trust Harry to go. It's getting too late for you to go alone.
Well, if I hurry, Jim, maybe I can make it into town before dark.
No, Fern. There's a killer loose around here somewhere.
I think there's a phone over to the Gray Towers, but I wouldn't go in there.
Huh? Where's Gray Towers?
Right around the bend and up the road a piece.
I'll go, Jim. I'm not afraid to go that far.
All right. But before you go, take a look at these footprints, Fern.
Oh, good heavens. They're monstrous.
Yeah, and there are at least 5 feet between the strides.
Jim, do you think there could possibly be anything to this poor fellow's story?
Well, it's fantastic, of course. But Isa was killed by a blow on the head, all right. He was struck by some kind of blunt instrument.
Jim, I don't think we should trust this fellow, Harry. Maybe he's not as harmless as he seems. After all, he could have...
Don't worry, Fern. I'm not trusting him. I'll keep Harry right here with me until you get back. Now, you run along, but don't lose any time. I'll expect you back here in less than half an hour.
Okay, Jim. So long.
So long, Fern.
Yeah, I'm sure they got a phone up to Gray Towers. But I wouldn't go in there. I'd be afraid.
Seems to me you're afraid of just about everything, Harry.
You'd be afraid of the big Iron Men, too, if you saw them.
Well, all I've got to say is that somebody had better see them, Harry, or your goose is cooked. Even so, I'd prefer to have a better alibi for murder than an iron monster.
To the Avenger and the Mystery of the Giant Brain. Robot 2, open the door.
Excuse me, may I?
Oh, don't be frightened, my dear. This is just a mechanical man who acts as my servant. He's perfectly under control. Come in.
Oh, no, thank you. Never mind.
Seize her, Robot 2.
No!
Well done, Robot 2. Now close the door.
Tell this monster to put me down, please. I just came to use the phone.
You were sent to call the police, were you not?
Oh, you don't understand. A man's been murdered. Or perhaps you already knew that.
A very unfortunate incident, but that sort of thing is inevitable sometimes. People are stupid. They don't understand the needs of science.
Please let me go. I'm expected back in town.
No,
you're
needed here.
I'm needed here? What for?
I need your brain for my great experiment. You arrived just in time.
My brain?
Yes. Now I'll have three human brains. Bring her to the secret laboratory, Robot 2.
Oh, no. Put me down. Let me go.
No use to struggle. The robot has his orders, and he will obey them.
Oh, you are a murderer. You killed Isa.
He was just a little man who got in my robot's way. What's yours is to be a greater honor than mere death. You will sacrifice your living brain to the great god science. A mere mortal could ask no greater privilege.
No! Let me go! Let me go! Let me go!
Stand guard, Robot 3. I'll open the cage, Robot 2. You put the beautiful lady inside. Miss St. Clair, Dr. Giles, I've brought you company.
Why have you brought this strange girl here, Rodano?
To share the fate I have in store for you and Miss St. Clair, my worthy doctor.
What are you talking about, Professor? Just what do you intend to do with us?
Be patient a little longer, Miss St. Clair. Come out and close the door, Robot 2.
Now listen, all of you. Tonight, the mighty Rodano will perform the greatest operation in the history of surgery. I will add 3 human brains to the living animal brains I already have preserved. Wait, I'll show you. Remove the heavy cover from that table, Robot 2. Be careful not to break the glass case. Well, what do you think of it?
What is that horrible thing? It's moving.
Of course it's moving. It's alive. It's the composite living brain of 14 animals.
It's the most horrible thing I've ever seen. Even my worst suspicions didn't prepare me for anything like this.
Hold on, Miss St. Clair. We mustn't give up yet.
Be silent and listen to me. Tonight, I add 3 human brains to this, and then I'll place them all within a special robot I've constructed. Then, the world will see a real man of iron. A man of unlimited power and superlative wisdom. The great Rodano will be worshipped as the creator of a new race.
Oh, stop him. Stop him. I can't stand anymore.
Professor.
Yes, what is it, Dr. Giles?
Perhaps we, Miss St. Clair and I, deserve whatever fate you have in store for us. Whether we meant to or not, we did help you create the robots. But this strange girl you've brought here, she had nothing to do with it. Let her go free.
Yes, Professor. There's no need to make the innocent suffer, too.
Ah, you two are cunning. Yes, you know that if I set you free, the police will be here in 5 minutes. No, I tell you, I need you all. Science needs you.
How much longer have we, then?
1 hour. 1 hour yet to live. Robot 1 will bring you a fine dinner of roasted duckling. We must observe the rules of death. The condemned should eat both well and heartily.
Well, Harry, it was a lucky thing for us that truck happened by so we could get word to the police.
The police come mighty fast, didn't they?
Yes, and they want to question both of us later, Harry. I promised them we'd both come to police headquarters as soon as I find out what's happened to Fern.
They don't think I did it, do they?
No. And if you promise me you'll tell them exactly what you saw, I'll give you a reward of $10.
$10? Gee, I never saw that much money.
Oh, say, Harry, is that Gray Towers?
Yeah, that's the place. That's where the professor and the big men live.
Have you ever been inside the house, Harry?
No, nobody's allowed inside. All the doors and windows has big bolts.
How do you know if you were never inside?
Well, sometimes I climb up in that tree over there by the garden and look in the window.
And what did you see from there, Harry?
Well, that's how I first saw the big men. But nobody believed me. They said I made it up.
Well, I guess there's nothing for it then but to try to get in by the front door. Come on, Harry.
Oh, no, sir, not me. I wouldn't go in there. The big men kill people.
All right, you climb up in the tree then and wait for me.
Sure, I'll wait. You said I'm going to get $10.
That's right. I'll see you later.
Yes, sir. Nobody will see me up in that tree. It's too dark up there.
Well, Professor, you're going to have a visitor. When that door opens, the Avenger will step inside and you'll be none the wiser because my diffusion capsule will render me invisible. The moment the door is opened, I'll break the capsule and enter.
What's that noise? Who's out there? Who's out there, I said?
I'm sure I heard a peculiar noise just as the door opened.
Who's there?
Well, it must have gone away, whoever it was.
Robot 1, close the door and bolt it. Now follow me, Robot 1. Follow me closely, for in just a few minutes, we begin our great experiment.
Dr. Giles, the hour is almost up.
Yes, just a few minutes more.
Think of that maniac sending down all this food. As though any of us could touch it.
Do you suppose that if we make all the noise we can, somebody might hear us?
There's not a chance of that, Miss Collier. This basement is soundproof.
Well, we certainly haven't anything to lose. We might as well try it. Here, each one take a tin cup
hit them against the bars as hard as you can.
And everybody shout at the same time. We'll say, help, we're in the basement. Ready? Go.
Help! We're in the basement! Help! We're in the basement!
Help! Listen. It's the robots. It's too late for any help now.
Go ahead! Scream your heads off! No one can hear you! Stand guard, robots!
I'm going to bring Dr. Giles out of the cage now. You'll kill him if he tries to get away. Come, Dr. Giles. Place him on the steel table, robot two. I'll fasten his hands and feet.
Oh, I can't look.
He won't feel anything. None of us will. The electricity will stun him instantly. It's the only way the brain can be removed and still remain alive.
Oh, don't!
Stand aside, robots. There, in a line. That's right. Now you won't be in my way.
Every split second counts in this operation. Now we're ready. I'll pull the switch and...
No, you don't, Professor.
Who spoke? Who's there?
It's the Avenger, Professor.
Oh, the Avenger. Oh, Miss St. Clair, we're safe.
Why, I don't understand. Where is he?
Where are you, Avenger? How did you get in here?
You can't see me, but I'm here, Professor. Here to see that you're brought to justice.
Find him, robots. Find the Avenger and kill him. Kill the Avenger. Find him, robots.
Professor.
Giles. Giles. The Avenger is here to ruin my experiment.
Professor, set me free. I'll help you.
Yes, Giles, you must help me. I've set you free. There. Help me, Giles. Help me find the Avenger. We must kill him. He mustn't ruin my experiment.
Dr. Giles, be careful. The robots have broken the glass case. The giant brain is free.
No, no, you robot fools. Look what you've done.
Giles! Dr. Giles, there's a robot behind you. Move to the corner. Where's the battery that controls these robots?
It's over here. I think I can reach it.
Giles! Giles! Help me! Pull this monstrous brain away from me! He's struggling with
me. Can you reach the battery, Giles? Quick! Quick! Or these robots are stabbed to death.
Yes! Yes, I've got it now! There!
Are you all right, Giles?
Yes.
Then unlock that cage and get those women out of there.
The professor put the keys on the desk here somewhere. Here they are.
Well, I never thought I'd get out of here alive.
Neither did I.
Is the professor dead?
Yes, the professor is dead. No one could save him from his own creation. The professor's giant brain was just a boomerang. Giles.
Yes, Avenger?
Call the police at once. And when they get here, demonstrate how these robots work. Otherwise, they'll never believe your story.
Right.
Midvale is one town I'm glad to leave behind me, Jim.
I don't blame you, Fern. You had a pretty narrow escape last night.
The Avenger saved Dr. Jaw's life by a mere second, Jim.
I got there the first moment I could, Fern. When you didn't return to Weiser's place, I naturally became worried. But frankly, I never expected to find anything as fantastic as the professor and his giant brain.
Well, we can't say Harry didn't try to warn us.
Yes, he certainly did. And for once, the police and everyone else in Midvale will have to admit that the truth in this case was more fantastic than any story poor Harry ever dreamed of.
Right. Jim, what will happen to those robots now?
Well, they're just so much scrap iron without those control batteries, and the police have confiscated those.
What about the giant brain? What will happen to that?
It's being removed to the state research laboratory, naturally. The brain is dead now. Within 5 minutes of being exposed to the air, it lost all its living properties. That would have been a great disappointment to the professor.
Oh, I'm glad it's dead. It was the most horrible thing I ever saw.
You know, Fern, at one time, Professor Rodano was a well-respected scientist. It's a shame that he went mad and used his genius in the wrong direction.
He was mad, all right. Jim, did you know that he sent us a delicious dinner of roast duckling last night, just before he came down to kill us?
No. And I suppose the thing that's worrying you now is that you didn't eat it.
Well, if I'd known how things were going to turn out, I could have done justice to that duckling.
Well, don't you worry your pretty head about it, Fern. I'll take you to Carlo's for dinner tonight.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm sure Carlo's roast duckling is just as good as Rodano's. And he doesn't reserve it for such special occasions.
All characters, names, places, and plots used in the Avenger program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
This is a thought, a thought, a thought. Remember, listen for another adventure of
The Avenger.
Thank you so much for joining us to listen to the Old Time Radio Hour. We hope you will tune in again next week when we bring you two shows from the Master of Radio Special Effects. Hearing someone turned inside out is not for the squeamish, but we hope you can make it. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.